Good morning, everyone. What a great day to be alive. We are live again, doing some re-sorting of our software and our computer stuff. So some of the other things we did hasn't worked yet. So I'm doing live broadcast this morning. Welcome. And thank you for stopping by today. And of course, this broadcast will be on the channels that you can look at later on in the day. Today, I want to read a psalm, and then I want to talk about the thought of expectations, on the edge of expectation, as I was meditating this morning, planning for our time together. My spirit and my emotions, and our emotions are gateways to our spirit. I know you know that, but every emotion that we have is how we contact and communicate with the world around us, and it affects our inner man, it affects our soul, it feeds our mind, and so forth. But as I'm listening to the Holy Spirit this morning, I hear this statement, on the edge of expectation. Wow. Well, some of us have been there in a lot of different ways, haven't we? How many times have we waited for company to come? Or how many times have we waited for a job to come through or a check in the mail? You know, the old joke, the check's in the mail. Well, that same thing can happen in our nation, what we're going through now. There's a lot of prophets and prophecies. I believe in prophets and prophecies. I love that world. God has given us that, those gifts for the purpose of advancement and headlights so we can see down the road. Well, but we say, well, why hasn't it happened? Why hasn't God, dealt with those crazy things that are going on? All right, we're on the edge of expectation. But on that edge, on that place where we're waiting, we can also open ourselves up, if we're not careful, to focusing on our own thoughts, desires, our own imaginations, the things that we would like to see happen. Well, I'm not going to tell you how to help you. I'm not going to tell you how to deal with that. That has to be something you work out where you learn the difference between you and God. You know, God's desires, your desires, God's will, your will. That's really a developing muscle in your spirit where you begin to know this is the way that God has for us to go. All right. Well, I am learning this new software that I'm using for live stream, and it's kind of like walking and chewing gum. I'm supposed to be the technician, determining what button to push next, but also I have to have be saying something important. So thank you for sticking with me on this. It's important that this expectation thing doesn't turn into disappointment. Now, the reason that disappointment can come, again, is because we focus on something that we imagined or we desired, personal desire. My personal journey, I had expectations that were not God's purpose for me. Those expectations in the ministry came out of pre-programmed peer, people around me that built these expectations. If you're going to be a preacher, this is what you need to look like. If you're going to be a pastor and be successful, you've got to have this size of church or this kind of church. Those expectations begin to be built into the young experience. Until when some of those things didn't develop, or at least they didn't develop, you know, on the schedule you thought they should, disappointment comes. We could fit that into a healing. God, I know you're going to heal me. I know you've healed me at the cross and the resurrection. I know at the stripes on your back you healed me. I know that, but Lord, I need to be healed today because I'm in pain. All right, I'm there with you, and I stand with you in that. I've been there, but let's not focus on the pain. Let's not focus on the lack of the job. Let's not focus on the lack of the government not being in the position we believe it ought to be. Let's not focus on who's in the White House right now. Let's focus on God, who has his plan, and he's going to unfold it. I want to read the last psalm in the book of Psalms. And it's one we used to sing a lot. I haven't heard it, anybody sing it for a while. But it's Psalms 150. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now, what this psalm does for us when we read it and focus our attention on it, it's the Peter syndrome. Peter's in the boat. He looks to Jesus. Jesus says, come. He steps out and walks in the water until he gets his eyes off of the off of Jesus onto the storm. All of a sudden, he sees there's a storm. Hey, am I going to make it? And he sinks, goes down. Well, the good news is we know Jesus rescued him, don't we? So praising the Lord and worship is one of the things that refocuses our attention from the trouble, from the pressure, from the disappointment, and from the fact that what we've been expecting hasn't come yet. And as long as that expectation is on, you know, the physical side of something developing, then we're going to be disappointed. I encourage you today to refocus back to where the source of our miracle is. And that is, of course, with our Father through Jesus Christ, isn't it? By the power of the Holy Ghost and the help of the angels. Look at this. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now, this gives us a pattern, walkway, a trail, a track. This is how we do it. So we focus on mighty acts. All right. One of the things the Old Testament's really good at, and the Israelites were to have reminders all around them of the mighty acts. They would build out the edge of the field, there'd be a stack of rocks on the way to the field with the two sons, you know, Samuel and Ralph. They would say, Dad, what's that pile of rocks? And Dad would once again tell about the mighty acts, how God delivered them, how God saved the nation, how the army was driven out, and how, you know, the enemy destroyed one another and they won another battle. That's a mighty act. When you focus on those mighty acts, it's like testimonies in church. We don't hear that a lot in the larger churches. The large churches have a system where you don't have those personal contacts so much. I remember obviously being raised in a whole bunch of small Pentecostal churches. We always had testimony service. It was somewhat right in the middle after worship, just before the offering or after the offering. We'd say, who's got a testimony? And someone would get up and say, I'm thank the Lord I'm saved, and I thank the Lord he healed me. Now, I'm sitting there as a kid listening to these people talk about the mighty acts of God. What did it do? It sunk into, like, marinated my spirit. I remember the hundreds of old saints that would get up, not in the same service, obviously, would get up in my growing up days, and I would hear God's testimony. well, he did it for me. He did it again, or he, you know, he healed me, or he rescued my son and daughter. I remember the testimonies out of our home church in the Second World War. Now, I was born just a year after the Second World War started, but I remember the testimonies that my dad repeated and some of the people I knew them. In our home church in Long Beach, California, not one of our young men that went into the Army or Navy lost their lives. They all came home alive. Now, we believe that was because we were a praying church and we lifted them before the Lord every day. That testimony went into my spirit. So my expectations then was focused on the Lord. I encourage you today to refocus if your expectations are being disappointed. Refocus back on the source. You watch God do some things for you that you haven't seen happen before. All right. Now let's look at this Psalms 150. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. I traveled with a young man. We're both older now, of course, and he played the trumpet. And when he would hit those high notes, it was glorious. There's something about a trumpet that pierces. It's got a vibration, a frequency, I think, that's tuned to heaven. And it pierces even to a, you know, another realm of sorts. Well, you have a trumpet in your spirit. It's called the voice of praise. And it's like a trumpet. You don't have to play the physical brass horn. Al Hurt was a famous trumpet player back when I was a teenager. Great, great trumpet player out of New Orleans. And he could blow that trumpet until it busted those, you know, the light bulbs. You know how he learned to blow so hard? And all he could afford was an old bent trumpet when he was a kid. And it had to blow through it so hard to get any air through it. And because of that, he had such a powerful sound. Well, when we shout, worship, sing in the times when it seems like it's bent, when it seems like, yeah, everything's against us, there's a muscle of our spirit that develops so we can blow that trumpet in Zion. What does it mean to blow the trumpet in Zion? It means I'm going to declare the name of the Lord in spite of the problem. I'm going to declare the name of the Lord in spite of the army that's looking at me there, peering over the wall at me and wanting my, you know, wanting to get my throat. I'm going to declare, that's a trumpet sound. It's blow the trumpet. We were in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, with my friend, the trumpet player, did a revival there. And we went out on the hillside one day, and he took that trumpet. Now, Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, is where the Civil War started, actually, when John Brown came and tried to take over the arms where they kept the guns. He broke into the armory, took it over for a while, and General Lee, he wasn't a general then, he was just a little captain, he came up there and routed out and got John Brown. Little history lesson here for you. And that's where the Civil War started. Now, later on, General Lee joined the South, but that was before that happened. Well, we're in this little concave, and there's three states that come together, so it's kind of a bowl, you know, valleys and mountains. My friend Garland stood up on the hillside and blew that trumpet. Everybody in town heard that song that day. It was glorious. When you stand on the hillside of your life and you blow your worship, you sing your song, you worship, you may be in your front room, nobody around, but the angels of the Lord pick that up with their microphones, you know, their spiritual amplification, and they'll stick it right up to your mouth, and you'll be amazed of the trumpet that goes out and changes the atmosphere around you. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. praise him with the timbrel and dance. Remember the story of Moses' sister dancing and playing the tambourine when they got on the other side of the water. And so there's a place where dancing breaks loose something that has not broken loose before. It's important that you get those little patty feet moving sometime. And it looks silly. It looks silly when we're not Fred Astaire or whatever else dancer you remember. I'm a little older than that. Now, praise him with the timbrel and praise him with the string instruments and flutes. Well, there's a biblical reason why we have so many guitars in the church, isn't it? Wow. Traveling through the South in the Midwest, I think I counted 15 guitars one time on one of the services, one of the churches I was in. Everybody was on the front with a guitar. Oh, it was wonderful. Okay. Praising the Lord. Praise him with loud cymbals. There's the drums. And praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, that's how you refocus when expectation is being disappointed. You begin to get out your praiser, get out your trumpet, get out your cymbals. Amen. We don't clap like we used to. Early Pentecost did a lot of clapping. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout on the Lord with a voice of triumph. And we took that for granted. And boom, we love to clap. All right. Well, I will bless you today as you go your way. I pray for you. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let this day be a supernatural, overcoming day that God has given us and God has released to us some wonderful things. Amen. Wonderful miracles, wonderful ideas, wonderful favor with people that we have not had favor with before. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your notes of encouragement. Thank you for your subscriptions. And thank you for those that have given us a financial boost along the way. We receive it in Jesus' name. Until tomorrow morning, hopefully on time this time, we will see you then. God bless.